Hello, sunshine. Happy Friday. Friday. I'm Corey Wire. This is CNN 10. We've made it to the best day of the week. And I have some tips for all you future journalists out there. You see these indentations on my head? Don't ever wear a hat backwards before you're supposed to go on camera. Well, there you go. All right, we've made it to the best day of the week. But before we dive into the weekend, let's get one more session of downloading some knowledge and information and finish this week strong. Let's go. We begin today with an early heat wave in India and Pakistan, where temperatures are expected to climb to dangerous levels. It's not uncommon for both countries to experience heat waves during the warmer months of May and June. But this year's heat wave season is starting much earlier than usual and is being forecast to last longer. Now, hundreds of millions of people in the region are facing scorching heat that's beginning to test human survivability limits while putting an enormous strain on energy infrastructure, farming, and everyday livelihoods. The forecast in some parts of Pakistan are blistering areas in the southwest part of the country, which could see temperatures reach 49 degrees Celsius, that's 120 Fahrenheit. India's capital, Delhi, home to more than 16 million people, has already seen temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius or 104 Fahrenheit multiple times this month. That's nearly 10 degrees Fahrenheit above the seasonal average. Temperatures like these are serious. They can disrupt the human body's ability to regulate temperature, animals too, leading to potentially very serious health issues like heat exhaustion or heat stroke and worsening existing medical conditions. In India and Pakistan, past heat waves have increased demand for electricity, and that's led to blackouts and coal shortages at times. Trains have been canceled to conserve energy. Schools have been forced to close. Now climate experts are warning India could be among the first places where temperatures might cross the point that humans can survive in the heat by 2050. Our meteorologist Derek Van Dam has more.
Testing human limits. Pushing the boundaries of what's, quote, survivable. India and Pakistan are expected to be the countries worst affected by the climate crisis in the coming years, experts say. In many ways, they already are.
It is severely hot. Hot winds keep blowing. It has become difficult to step out of the home. The sunlight is too harsh.
Summers in these regions aren't just getting hotter, but starting earlier and are predicted to last longer. Temperatures climbing to dangerous levels this week in South Asia. Western India crossed the 45-degree threshold Tuesday, and southwestern Pakistan threatens to reach 49 degrees Celsius, numbers that rival summer temperatures in North America's Death Valley, infamously the hottest place on Earth.
The heat is unbearable. We have applied sunscreen, and we are taking halts wherever we see shade.
The searing heat causes farmers and other outdoor workers to fall ill and babies to be born prematurely, leaving workers, mothers, children, virtually everyone vulnerable. Power outages caused by the increased demand for electricity during the heat wave only make matters worse. It's a vicious cycle. In Jaipur, locals reverting to traditional cooling techniques to combat a compounding problem. As temperatures in India and Pakistan rise, scarves and umbrellas help, but they can only do so much, and the summer season has hardly begun.
If it is so hot already in April, what will happen in May, June, and July?
A burning question that, for more than 1 billion people, will test their limits even further.
Pop quiz, hot shot. The oldest bookstore in the world is located in what country? England, Portugal, Germany, or France? Answer is Portugal, home of the Livraria Bertrand in Lisbon. It opened in 1732 and has been in continuous operation since then, giving it an official Guinness World Records title. The biggest bookstore chain in the U.S., Barnes & Noble, is making a big-time comeback thanks to a surge in voracious readers like yourselves and stores focused on locally curated book selections. Barnes & Noble is getting some of their paperback, and they're planning to open dozens of new locations. It's come a long way since the early 2000s when many bookstores were in a bind, closing thanks to a boom in competition from online booksellers like Amazon. Our Richard Quest met up with Barnes & Noble CEO James Daunt to help us read between the lines and find out how they've been able to turn their page and rejuvenate the brand.
Wow. What we're finding is we have this extraordinary strength amongst young people reading, and they are reading really good books. So they're reading the classics. They're also reading the book of the moment.
Yes.
A fantasy book, yeah. A romanticy book, a whatever. But they are not abandoning these books either. They are reading Middlemarch. They're reading the great classics.
We all thought Barnes & Noble was done. You were out, or it was out for the count. It was never going to compete with Amazon, blah, blah, blah. Turn off the lights.
Well, and the reason it had got there, I think it had lost sight of the fact that it needed to run really compelling bookstores, and had drifted away from that core principle, had started selling too many things that weren't books, had tried to cut costs as it got into a certain amount of difficulty, and that created a vicious cycle of ever less attractive stores, ever less compelling stores, and declining sales. We were able to relatively quickly just simply reverse that process, concentrate on books, create better bookstores, invest in our people, allow them the freedom to curate their stores, and our sales went up.
So what are they doing, these local stores, that you're finding fascinating about how they're doing it? What are they doing? A book is a book is a book on the shelf.
A book is a book is a book, and it's the same book whether you buy it from Amazon or whether you buy it in a bookstore, whether you buy it from Barnes & Noble or from an independent bookstore. But it's the alchemy that you put around within the store, how you juxtaposition the friendliness of the space, the welcome that you get, but also how we choose and what we choose to sell, how we curate a table, how we put a display, where we put a recommend. And that is very, very local.
I can read a book review in the newspaper or online, and I want to read the book tomorrow, and Amazon is already in my phone and will deliver it to me tomorrow.
And Amazon is wonderful.
And you
have
to compete with that.
Well, we have to compete with that a bit, but also if you want to come and look at the book, if you want to see what else there is, you will be much better off doing that in a bookstore. When you simply want to come in and have the serendipity of discovering and embracing books, and also doing it with people, so both doing it with our booksellers, but also doing it with other customers. It's a very, very social space, this.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10 goes to the advancement in brain research once thought impossible. Scientists have created the first 3D map of a mammal's brain by using specialized microscopes to record the brain activity of a lab mouse on a treadmill while it watched the movie The Matrix. Not Neo. The result is a stunning map of a piece of brain matter the size of a grain of sand that reveals the form, function, and activity of 84,000 neurons and half a billion synapses. Oh, snap. Lined up, the tiny speck contains 3.4 miles of neural wiring. That's nearly 1.5 times the length of New York City's Central Park. All right, we've got a Central Park-sized shout-out going to Miss Meskimen and all our peeps at Palos Heights, Illinois, Independence Junior High Patriots salute. And holy moly, it's a great day to be an honorary Blue Devil to Miss Woodward and all my friends at Reading High School in Reading, Ohio, especially you, Aiden. Rise up. Not air, cue that Friday music. Remember to go out, make someone smile this weekend. You never know when or how, but you may be the spark of joy someone needs. You are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.